I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Real Salt Lake puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Hey, sports fans, welcome back. It is KSL's Unrivaled. Scott Mitchell and Alex Carey here on a Monday. It's a fun day for us. Real exciting time with the Utah Jazz, getting ready to start the second round, the semifinals of the Western Conference, against really one of the favorites, right? I mean, the Clippers are...
Are they, are though?
Well, they were. I mean...
By the end of the year, we were kind of like, right.
And I just wonder if... they're really not that good, or if they were just like, we don't really, really care about the regular season.
Maybe they're ramping up right now. That's the whole thing. Not a shock. I mean, I guess I shouldn't be shocked by it, but I am kind of shocked by the score right now. The Nets are up 85-64 on the Milwaukee Bucks in the second quarter. I mean, excuse me, that would have been amazing in the second. In the third quarter. 2 minutes left in the third quarter, and they're up 21 again on the Bucks. They just are blasting these guys, and I don't really get it. I want to start there with our own Ben Anderson. I know he was expecting you to just answer all the Jazz questions, but is this series shocking at all to you, Ben, when you see that the Nets are not just taking care of Brooklyn in these first two games, but just like kind of blowing them up?
Yeah, I thought Milwaukee would show a lot better, especially after what they did to Miami in the first round. I thought, you know, Giannis had probably kind of been through the rigors a few times, recognized, you know, what the issues are. It seems like Mike Budenholzer had found a way to make some adjustments against Miami that you hope would have carried over. And then you kind of look at the matchups. Look, Kevin Durant's really good. Kyrie Irving's really good, but there's no James Harden in this series so far. I would have thought Milwaukee would have played significantly better than they have so far. And it just, I wonder if they're just a mentally weak team. And once things go wrong, they really have no way to stop that negative momentum.
All right, I don't care about Milwaukee and Brooklyn. I want to know about the Jazz, Ben, and no one better than you to ask. So Mike Connolly clearly had the hamstring issue, and you know, what's his status, and how critical and important is he in this series?
Yeah, the Jazz listed Mike Connolly as questionable for tomorrow's game. They just released that a couple of hours ago. So it's a big deal. Look, if he was probable, you know, obviously you'd probably feel pretty safe that he was going to step out there and give it a go. If you're 24 hours out and you're still not sure, even if he gets on the floor, it's probably safe to say he's not going to be back to 100%. So it's a big loss for the Jazz, regardless of whether he plays or not. And he's really important. You know, what the Clippers are going to do is they're going to put some of their better wing defenders, and they've got a lot of them, between Paul George and Kawhi Leonard, and Patrick Beverley's a pretty good defensive player as well. They're going to really target Donovan Mitchell and try and take him out of the game, because we've seen how good he can be in the playoffs over the last two seasons. And if you can take him out of the game, the Jazz need another guy on the wing who can score. And so far this year, that's been Mike Conley. That's exactly why the Jazz went to get him. They wanted to relieve that pressure off Donovan Mitchell in the playoffs, and now you might not have him at 100%. So if he can stand out there and shoot threes and be a decoy, or, you know, a lot of value. But really, Mike Conley's obviously at his best when he's running the pick and roll, getting into the paint, finishing through contact. And I just don't know if I'm super confident we're going to see that with his strained hamstring.
Obviously, reacting to an injury at the beginning of a series is something they had to do, you know, last series. But the difference is now Donovan Mitchell looks like he's okay to go. Obviously, he's okay. And switching out Mike Conley for, you know, either probably Joe Ingles or someone else there at the top is you know, concerning, I think, to start the series out. This team, the Clippers, are, you know, right there with the Jazz when it comes to efficiency at shooting the three-pointer. They're better than the Jazz percentage-wise. What about defending a team who's really good at shooting a three? How are the Jazz on that front compared to – I mean, this could be a total shootout from behind the arc with these two teams.
Yeah, I really do think it's going to be a shootout. And really, the guy I'm curious about how the Jazz are going to defend is Marcus Morris. is probably going to play a lot at center in this series to try and pull Rudy Gobert out of the paint, and how the Jazz are going to try and do that. Because as we've seen in the playoffs and really throughout the regular season, Rudy's at his best when he's standing near the rim and blocking shots and stopping the opposing teams from getting to the rim and getting easy baskets. Now, if the Pacers are fine saying we don't think we need those shots to win, and they can take a lot of three-pointers, over 40 a game, and hit over 40% like they did in the regular season, the Jazz are going to have a really hard time. But then again, you know, that's what the Jazz do too, and the Jazz aren't going to be afraid to attack the rim, though, as long as Rudy Gobert's on the floor, especially if the Clippers try and play small. So it's going to be the old cliche. It's going to really be a chess match between, you know, who's willing to play chicken in this game and who's going to back out first of going away from their style of play. The good news is, you know, the Jazz were the best three-point shooting team in the NBA this season as far as most attempts and most makes. No, like you said, they didn't shoot the best percentage. That was the Clippers. But the Jazz should be able to survive offensively and can match a team like L.A. when it comes to these long, you know, these long battles where you just need to score the ball. And that's something that Dallas couldn't do in the last round, and that's ultimately why they lost.
Clearly, Rudy Gobert is an important part of this. So how do the Jazz actually get him involved, you know, with this quote, small ball lineup, and how, what do they need to do to make sure that he can still be effective, really on both ends of the court? Because I think he can be a critical player for the Jazz offensively as well.
Yeah, and maybe honestly in this series he's more important offensively. If they're going to go small, you have to punish them because they can't catch lobs, you know, 10 feet off the ground the way Rudy Gobert can. Marcus Morris doesn't have that type of athleticism. He's long and they're long. But I'm not sure they have the ability to really blow up the Jazz pick and roll unless they can find a way to stop Rudy Gobert. Now, that's where the loss of Mike Conley could become potentially enormous. But Joe Ingles is a far better than adequate backup point guard, especially if he steps in and starts, where his numbers were actually really good this season. About 15 points, almost 7 assists. He shoots over 40% from three. So Joe Ingles, if he starts and has to play in place of Mike Conley, the Jazz should still be good and should still have a pretty good pick-and-roll attack, and that's where Rudy Gobert is going to have a ton of value for the Jazz, even if it is mostly on the offensive side.
Ben Anderson, KSLSports.com, our Jazz insider. I'm looking at, you know, some of these numbers that, of course, are being put up. And I see Kawhi, and I go, that guy, he may be the worst interview ever, and it just does not matter. The guy's so dang good. Donovan, of course, spent a lot of time talking today about how much he respected what Kawhi does on both ends of the floor. Is he the level of player that we've seen in the years past, and we just kind of haven't seen him turn it on yet, or what kind of an effect is Kawhi going to have? He's obviously still their best player, but where is he at against this Jazz team? How do they account for him?
He certainly can be, and I think you saw it. You know, it was Game 6 in Dallas where he just took over that game in the fourth quarter and ended up with, 45 points, yeah. I think, and was hitting crazy threes in the face of every defender that Dallas threw at him. So he certainly still has that ability, and that was the guy who won a championship for Toronto. Can he do it every game? Does he have to do it every game? I do think that's a major question. I think that's the one the Jazz are going to have to figure out, because if Kawhi plays like that, there's a reason the Clippers were one of the favorites. He can be the best player in the NBA on any given night when he does that. But, you know, the Jazz are pretty good too. And as you mentioned, Donovan Mitchell was close to 30 points a game for the Jazz in this playoff series. He scores about a point a minute, which, if you really want to break it down, was the second best of any player in the playoffs so far. So the Jazz can fight fire with fire. If it's going to come down to a battle of offenses, I think the Jazz can actually execute pretty well. And they certainly have more than a puncher's chance. I mean, the Jazz have the number one seed because they were the best team in the regular season this year.
Ben Anderson, KSLSports.com. You can read his byline there. Everything that is Jazz-related, Ben Anderson has it for you right there at KSLSports.com. You can download the KSL Sports app and also read those articles as well. Ben, absolutely working his tail off here in the playoffs and in the regular season. So we love having this resource. Ben, thanks for breaking it down for us, and we're looking forward to Game 1 tomorrow. Thanks for hanging out, man.
Thanks, guys.
Ben Anderson, one of our favorites, one of the best in the biz. So
the big thing that I
get so nervous. So then I start to hear Ben talk about stuff, and I'm like, oh yeah, these guys are really good, but the Jazz are too. So yeah, I get kind of buoyed up.
It's going to be a great every series from here on out. That the Jazz they're going to be great series. I mean, they're probably going to go 7 games. You know, maybe they go 6 games. I don't know, but I just really feel like there's not just one team that just is head and shoulders above everyone else. And so you're just going to get a lot of back and forth. You're going to get, you know, the adjustments and, the like he said, the chess match. And I think that's a very real thing. I'm just curious about, you know, apparently the switching off on defense has a problem for the Jazz. And I'm just really curious about how the Jazz handle this, and I really think that I really think the answer is Rudy Gobert. He mentioned it, and I've just been feeling it. Like I can see Rudy Gobert having a very effective offensive.
They're probably saying bring it on. You know, I mean, they're like, look, that's not.
But
their strength.
You have to have that though.
They're saying that's not their strength. Make Rudy beat you on. You'd much rather have Rudy scoring points than you would guys from killing it from outside of the threes. I bet that's what they're saying. And Rudy's looking forward to this. I'm excited about it too. All right, we're taking the break here. When we come back, we've got more to go on KSL's Unrivaled. When we return, now we're going to hear the LA side of things. Joining us next is Miriam Swanson from the Orange County Register, beat writer for the Clippers, and we'll get her take on what LA is feeling about this series. Stay with us right here on KSL's Unrivaled.
Two years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andrea Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at kslpodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.